Welcome to the Digital Drummer, Jim Newsom with Urban Tech Fair Talk on the radio. This is the official broadcast of the Urban Tech Fair. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, your co-host for this moment in time, and we welcome you to the Digital Drummer. Today we have a special guest. Our special guest is modern CEO, author, tech thought leader, and the founder of NBILTO, Andrew L. West. He is our special guest for today. And I just like to say to our callers, those who have called in, if you'd like to speak, please press the number one so I'll know that you are ready to speak and we'll bring you on the line. And for anyone else, if you'd like to call in, our call-in number is 646-716-7994. Again, that call-in number is 646-716-7994. And today, we're resuming our Digital Drummer. We took a summer break for August, and we're back. And the Digital Drummer is just blessed to bring to you some of the greatest people and the greatest minds in tech, people of color, some of the greatest minds in the tech industry. We're hoping to, our goal is to showcase these phenomenal minds, these phenomenal organizations, these phenomenal innovations, so that we all come together and support and collaborate and build this tech innovation ecosystem that needs to be built in our community so that we can continue to grow as a community and grow more effectively, and understanding that technology is just part of living. Whether you choose to say you engage tech, you like tech, whatever, honestly, you know, technology is just, is even a part of nature. So you're not going to get away from technology. And we all engage it in a daily basis just to get things done. So rather than working against it, work with it and find out what's great about tech, the things that you do like about tech, the things that technology allows us to do, lives to save, make life easier, makes it possible for us to do so many things. And as you listen to these great, phenomenal people, you will learn why technology, why is it so exciting for so many people, and what you just need to do to engage it, and how you can be a part of many things happening. So Andrew is going to come on, and when he comes on, he's going to tell us about their upcoming event that they have. They have a wonderful upcoming event, and we want to make sure that we're around to support that event. And so be willing to ask questions. I told him to make sure he gives us his whys, and we're just waiting for him to come on. Now, he did, he called earlier, so I know he's ready. He was ready about almost 3 hours earlier. He wasn't exactly sure which time and all of these different time zones that we all have. So he will be calling in soon. So we do have a couple callers on the line. If you'd like to announce yourself or if you'd like to visit us in the chat room, please be willing to just give us a shout out in the chat room, share your link, and just let us know a little bit about who you are. So as we wait for Andrew to come through, I guess we can just do This Week in Tech. Some of the great information people have been sharing, and we have, we're at the Urban Tech Fair, our groups, people really share a phenomenal amount of information. Oh, okay, great. So Andrew is here, so we're going to bring him on the line right now. So welcome, Mr. Andrew L. West. How are you today, good sir?
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you so much for having me. I'm awesome, and I'm humbled to be on the call tonight. This is a great show that you're doing and covering folks in the tech space, and I'm just really excited about Urban Tech Weekend 2014 in Houston, and I'm glad to be here.
All right. So just to bring our audience up to speed, because we have audiences from all over, some are tech, some aren't super techy, and some of them you know, some of them you don't know. And since we're taking advantage of technology and the internet, people are listening in from all over the world. So there's one thing everyone wants to know. Who is Andrew L. West? Who is Andrew L. West, the man? And then tell us about your claim to fame.
Oh, man. I don't know where to start. I'm just a humble servant, you know, being obedient for a mission, a national and potentially global mission to diversify the tech and STEM space with more African Americans. I'm a native of New Orleans, Louisiana. I've lived all over the country of sorts, but now I'm based in Houston. I've led a 16-year tech career, working for a number of types of entities, corporate, banking, you name it. The most inspirational time of my 16-year tech career prior to founding in Bitlow and stepping out as a tech entrepreneur, I worked in education. I worked in K-20 education, if you will. I was working with Dillard University as an IT manager in New Orleans, and I worked with K-12 schools in New Orleans implementing technology, integrating technology in the school systems. I was a chief technology officer there, and it inspired it just doubled and put steroids on, if you will, the unction for me to found in Bitlow, which is a national black information technology leadership organization. So there's this next generation who, many different things influence them. Things we have to relate to them in unconventional means. And I felt that we had the ability to reposition the middle class by really engaging and inspiring them to pursue careers in information technology, to become tech entrepreneurs, to pursue, higher education in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics careers. And so that's kind of who I am. First part of my career, I was very in it to win it. I was very money-driven. I was highly successful, worked 24 hours around the clock, still do, but now I'm working for social good. So that's what we do within Bitlow and our Urban Tech Weekend series of conference events.
In Bitlow, so that people can join in. How is In Bitlow spelled? What's the website? Give us the website.
Sure. In Bitlow.org, it's actually just like it sounds, but it's NBITLO.org.
Okay.
And that's for the National Black Information Technology Leadership Organization. And bitlow.org.
Great. So, as a child, were you into technology as a youth? What sparked your interest?
That's an awesome question. As a child, I had very supportive parents. They exposed me to many things. I got my leadership foundations in the church.
Okay.
Beyond that, my mom worked in technology for NASA in New Orleans, and she would bring me there
okay.
on career days. My dad was a serial entrepreneur, founded many things, you know, successful businessman, and, you know, and so my parents put in me an entrepreneurial spirit at an early age. My dad was, he's a traditionalist, and he's of the older generation. He actually marched with Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the Civil Rights Movement. So, you know, I had parents that kind of embedded in my DNA. My mom worked in tech, and my dad was just like on the social change and ministry aspect, and they created this, you know, this brainchild, you know, who was destined to do things. I often tell the story when I entered ninth grade, you know, computers, this was in the early 90s when,
okay.
you know, we didn't have computers in households like we do now. They weren't prevalent. So my parents bought me a computer, you know, for me to be successful and be able to do assignments. Well, I popped that computer open. I wanted to know the inner workings of it, how it was built. And so I was beaten for it. You know, they were like, what are you doing? We spent this money. But I often recall that story. It kind of shaped who I am now. I was exposed to many things. I founded the newspaper in high school. I come from a musical family, so I have a sincere appreciation for the arts. You know, everyone in my family is musical, and you know, studies and research has shown that there's a correlation between, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math, and music, that they you know, correlate. You know, most your mad scientists or your high tech people, they may have a violin in the closet or a piano in the house. So that's kind of who I'm.
Andrew, we lost you.
Can you hear me?
Okay, now we can hear you.
Okay.
All righty. Yeah, we lost you for a moment there.
Oh, okay.
Well, do you play any instruments? Do you sing? Do you, you know, since you went there.
Oh, gosh. As a child, I was classically trained on a piano.
All right.
I learned computer by ear, though. and of course, in high school, I founded a computer club, and I actually was allowed to build the first computer lab in my high school. I was a student advocate, did a lot of things in leadership in high school, and which kind of prepared me. You know, I didn't know they were building blocks and kind of seeds for the future that was ahead of me.
I think it's great. I mean, I think that's so important. I think, you know, in everything there's a lesson to be learned, you know, like to get into the technical things, but understanding and knowing a person and certain patterns. When supportive parents and parents that expose and allow their children to get into different things to see what their gifts and talents are is important.
Right.
And I think there's a correlation with boys and taking things apart. I mean, all my boys will tear anything apart, if it's a clock, whatever. I think boys just want to know how things work. You know, they tear things apart, but they'll put them back together. That's the thing about it. They'll tear it apart, but they'll learn it. And that lesson is, too, that, you know, sometimes as parents we get so hyped. You know, because, you know, you get to, you know, I paid this, you get this order and structure, and you get so into that, that sometimes, and I like to just say this, especially to parents, don't, you know, squelch the children's spirit. Sometimes, because kids are just so creative, they just vibrate on such another level and plane that sometimes they can just seem totally weird to us or out the way, but don't squelch that, especially if they're taking things apart. Most of the time, they can put them back together. But,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that we are innately creators. I mean, if you look at innovation, if you look at inventions, if you look at coding, if you look at it from a universal or from a spiritual perspective, you know, those who believe that God created us in his own image. He
yeah.
created us to be creators.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say on on that note. We have innately in us the ability to build businesses, to build enterprises, to innovate, to think, to create inventions, to create applications that solve the world's problems, just to build.
Yeah, that is. It's totally correct. that image we are is a spiritual image, and it creates, you know, speak things into existence. Sometimes, you know, just by reiterating these little points, I'm pretty sure most of the people who are listening in and who will listen in have heard something somewhere along the line. So it's all purposed, and
Absolutely.
There's something for us to gain. And to that end, and you'll continually hear it in Andrew's speech and in his voice, but to that end, and the reason why Andrew is here on A Digital Drummer and came over and supporting the Urban Tech Fair, and the Urban Tech Fair is supporting MBIT and Bitlo and the Urban Tech Weekend, the reason why is because the one thing we all have in common is we have a love for our community, and to the point of we are willing to do whatever it takes to change. So if you want to call us all activists or community advocates or whatever, that's the one thing we have in common. And
Absolutely.
Because of that, we are unique people coming together. And if you're listening in, then you're called for a purpose. And so, you know, just... not to so be in a technology or, you know, like I said, we all engage it. But it doesn't all have to be the same way. It doesn't all have to necessarily look a certain way. And sometimes just seeing things differently. Now, I'm going to say I'm a math addict. So when I came into knowledge of computers, you know, that was really right up my alley. So things that, you know, break down into binary numbers, okay. Everybody may not be there, but there are always so many different ways, and just like talked about the innovation and the creativeness. So that's just that lesson. But as we move on, we do want to talk a little bit. I want you to explain more what MBITLO is. You know, what is MBITLO? How can people join? You know, what's the goal and mission of MBITLO? And that should take us into the Urban Tech Weekend.
Absolutely.
And so as he does that, I'm going to put that URL for the Urban Tech Weekend in the chat room. But just to, you know, break down to us. Well, since you talked a little bit about MBITLO, I'm pretty sure I don't know how many people also know that you're the author of Modern CEO. So, you know, tell us a little bit about the book Modern CEO and, you know, what it's about, and then move us into MBITLO.
Man, that's almost like an entirely different interview, but I'll give you the brief of it.
Well, you know, so, we have a lot of entrepreneurs and professionals listening in.
Absolutely. So the Modern CEO Technology Tools, Innovation and Guidebook for Today's Tech-Savvy Leader, that was my first published book. And I penned that book. It was a time in my career where I had been serving in a number of leadership capacities in a plethora of organizations. I had been on the executive team, you know, be it with vice presidents or with the CEO of organizations. And the book was a call to action. Technology was often, we found that technology initiatives were often left on the back burner. So there'd be these projects or these initiatives, and they would bring technology to the table at the last minute and try to get us to be the savior of the project or to implement it. So my pinning of the Modern CEO was to create a strategy guide for leaders of all types of organizations, to call them to action, to, you know, to say, look, here's the importance of technology. Technology needs to be at the table at the beginning of any initiative. You know, we need to be a voice. We need to be a leadership voice. We need to drive initiatives, and we need to help you create revenue. We need to help you meet your targets and meet vision. So parallel to it being called an action guide for leaders, it was also penned for emerging technology leaders to understand the language of, you know, how to get in your CEO's ear, how to get in the vice president's or executive team's ear, and how to let them know that you're more than just about systems, you're more than just, you know, a person, an operator who operates things, who writes code, that you're actually a thought leader, and you can plan and help them meet what they're trying to do and create revenue at the same time. So it's a call to action for leaders. And it was my, I had the book in my head for years. I had copies of the manuscript written, and I finally went ahead and published. And the support and the response from the tech community, from academia, to the, you know, folks in the early stages of technology, technology careers, and from leaders, I really got a phenomenal response to it. Was a kind of exploratory book. You know, I didn't know it was more on the professional self-help side of, you know, like a business guide, if you will, where business at the intersection of entrepreneurship, tech, and business. So.
Well, I think it's something very needed. I mean, just from the mindset in corporate and in business a lot, and even if you're an entrepreneur, I think it's really necessary to build certain mindsets and to realize, especially as you build your business. But a lot of times people just think, I got a job. And then the different departments, they work and they do maybe their little area well, but they never think about it as part of the whole. And the bottom line, it's about generating revenue. So when they do, you know, and a lot of times people do that. They'll come and talk compassionately to you about what they do, but they can't align their value with, you know, the bottom line and generating revenue. And sometimes that's how a lot of different departments get ignored, or even when people are making plea. But I would suggest if you're in corporate America at all, if you are an entrepreneur, if you do business, even if you're doing events, engaging, I would suggest to read it. Anything that gives you good strategy, it's a good read. I just suggest you read it. Now tell us.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
A little appreciate.
I just think it's something we need. I work with a lot of small businesses and clients, and even organizations, nonprofits. There's just such a disconnect, and the whole strategy. I just feel probably 90% of the workforce doesn't understand the mechanics of true business. They understand what they do, but not true business. And that was a real issue. Now, back in the 80s and 90s, that was an issue in tech. Yeah, because I started, we had mainframe systems when I started. Mm-hmm. We had the first computers in my high school. When I was in 12th grade, we had the first three computers. It was three of them. Anyway, at Macintosh, and it was the first computers in our whole high school ever. So I ain't gonna tell you how long ago that was. And when I got in the workforce, still on mainframe systems, because Apple was really the only one with the PC, and that's the one we got in school. But when most of the private sectors and the government, they were still mainly working off a mainframe system, and they were just, like, we had one, when I started working with the government, U.S. Census Bureau, we had one PC in the entire office.
Wow.
And it sat in one little area. Nobody went over there because most people didn't know how to use it. I went over there and taught myself. But, it's important that, you know, at that time, a lot of tech people, they knew whatever they knew. Whatever they were trained and certified in, that's what they knew. but they can never think outside of that. And that's probably how I just grew so much in tech, because I frustrated. No one could, I seem like I always come up with a, complicated, some answer that nobody knows the answer to. And I always had to wind up figuring it out and finding it out for myself. And again, the reason why I was able to do that, because in high school I took a programming course. So coding is very good. Like you said, it teaches you how to think. And that was my best education ever. But so now we can go from there into NBITLO.
Absolutely.
So we got your background. Yeah, just to build this up, we got his background as an impassioned person, activist, tech mom, inquisitive, gifted child, leader who's writing books on strategy in the tech realm, which I know wasn't too many books, especially at that time, in that realm. And so now you are finding NBITLO, and you bring all of this genius to this organization.
Yeah. That person you were speaking about, you know, having resources and being that black girl who knew how to code, it's kind of why NBITLO was founded. I am a strong believer in professional development. So all throughout my tech career, I would find myself at these major technology conferences, Microsoft conferences, you know, you name it, Cisco, if there's an event, I've been to it. And the common thing you find in common is the same as in the workplace, that you wouldn't see many faces that look like you. So oftentimes when I was working in information technology, I was just not the only black in the department, the only black male in the entire organizations that I've been working in. And so NBITLO initially was founded to create a nationwide network of support for IT professionals of color, for folks to be able to connect, you know, say, hey, you know, we are out there, we exist, even though we only represent 9% of the entire workforce in North America. And as far as leadership position, we're less than 3%, you know, and as far as women in information technology, of any color, they're less than 1%. And so we advocate to bridge the digital divide. And we do that in three unique areas. So our three focus areas are IT professional resources, STEM development, and innovation and entrepreneurship. And so how those are defined and what they look like is, once you join as a member on www.nbitlo.org, you gain access to our nationwide database of members where you can interconnect with folks who may be working on similar projects in their jobs. They may have, you may be connected with hiring managers in IT, CIOs, chief technology officers. There's a number of resources. We keep cutting edge info from tech recruiters. We know that in the current market in North America, 87% of jobs, by and large, in the tech space, are now filled through technology recruiters, through tech recruiters.
Okay.
So the workforce has changed. There's no newspaper positions. There's no Career Builder, no Monster. When you're applying on Career Builder and Monster and Dice and those folks now, you're nine times out of ten applying to a recruiter who is you know, recruiting for a position. So our second area, STEM development, we found that, you know, not only were there shortages in tech, but there were parallels in science, technology, engineering, and math. And, you know, we kind of adopt a 100 black men's notion of what they see they will be. And you don't see black men of color, you don't see black women of color represented heavily when it comes to technology, comes to, you know, things in the tech space. You don't see that in the mainstream media. And, you know, I believe in part that it's systematic and you know, just very intentional.
Yes.
You know, you know, they you know, we happen to get malt liquor advertisements, you know, constantly put in front of our children. You know, mm-hmm. the twerk videos, all the mainstream media puts the wrong things in front of our kids constantly and consistently.
Yes.
Even on the internet, if you're not even on TV. And so what we extend to do is show folks, show the world, show generations that we're out there. You can be successful. You can still be cool. You know, you can be who you
mm-hmm.
are. You can be creators and not merely consumers. You know, one of our other concerns is the black dollar. We know the trillions of dollars that come out of the hands of black professionals in North America. But those dollars are not in our own neighborhoods. They're not in our own backyards. They're not going into our own startups. So we've lost the sense of economy, but we know the sense of consumerism. We've got that down pat. We'll buy anything you sell us. Michael Kors got rich off of it. You know, I can name people. You know, Coke has gotten millions off of us over the year, billions off of us over the years, and sent folks, you know, with the diet versions with cancer. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that so exposure, professional development, and then the entrepreneurship and innovation piece, and that is, you know, inspiring folks to break out of the 9-to-5. You know, it's great to maximize your career, go work for folks, go learn industry. But for those who have it in them, we want them to go and found businesses, found startups, and we will support and incubate them. So that is the programmatic, the three programmatic sides of the Invitlo House. We're split into four regions that span across North America, and there is also the interactive side of what we do, and it is our annualized conferences. And we started out very small in New Orleans. There was, I remember, like yesterday, we called together a meeting. It was 30 folks in a room at Xavier University. Mm-hmm. And we called it the New Orleans Citywide Technology Professionals Meetup. And we got together, you know, it was maybe four or five of the guys. They were folks on my staff at the time. The rest of the folks were all strangers to me. But in that moment, in that first meeting, we set the tone of inclusiveness. We had all had similar experiences that we go to these tech conferences and no one speaks. You know, so say if there are three black people in the conferences, we're so alienated, they didn't even connect at those events.
Mm.
So we set a tone then at our very first meetup. We said that in any Invitlo event, no attendee will be left behind. So when we say networking, when you see that on advertisements, we mean that. And so we grew from there. We had the New Orleans event. We had, and it grew to a national conference in Atlanta. We did a leadership event in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We brought the event to Miami. We were in Houston last year. We are returning to Houston again this year, so we are entering into year six of existence, and we've grown to an event that we call Urban Tech Weekend. And Urban Tech Weekend is 3 days of IT professional resources, startup information, hackathons, innovation and entrepreneurship. We focus on topics such as women in technology, women in STEM, urban economics and opportunity, and a number of things that you can see by visiting our website that's dedicated to the conference, which is urbantechweekend.com.
Okay.
So that's kind of the short version of who we are. We had a great team of co-founders, Jamel Knighton, Stephanie Reese, Juan Hayes, Jerome Barnes. There were a number of people who helped bring this thing to life, and they still support the event, even today, even Michael James. And those folks, we were a group, we had a vision. And these were folks that I had either worked with at some point in my career. I mean, we were all over. So we began with a virtual leadership team. Some folks were in New Orleans, some were in Miami, some were in Atlanta, some were in Los Angeles. And we created this nucleus of connection. We would do conference calls. We would do virtual, you know, calls to grow this thing, and we've kept it alive. And we continue to extend to an event that creates measurable results, and that is closing these gaps in the digital divide. And we want to make it, we want to tell the tech industry, we want to send a strong message to Silicon Valley that there are black professionals, we're successful, we exist, we don't have to buy Microsoft products, we don't have to buy Apple products, we can create them. We can create them, we can build them. We don't have to just be on the consumer side of the house. So you wanted to know what it is, and that's what it is that we do.
Well, that's great. That is great. That's great. So as everyone can hear, you are so passionate, and I just love hearing you and love learning more about you. At first, Cairo Queen, one also the Urban Tech Fair members as well, she that's where I first engaged you, heard about the organization, but that's where I first engaged you on one of her calls. And hello?
Yes,
Andrew?
I'm here.
Okay, all righty.
Yes.
No,
can
I was
you
just
hear
saying
me?
How I yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yes, Cairo, she's doing some amazing things with her taste of technology. I'm grateful to her for connecting us.
Yes, yes. And, you know, that's one thing that's really good, and it's just, I can say, I first started with the Urban Tech Fair because Jim was so supportive of things that I was working on. He always was so willing to share information and give you information. And I was like, I actually need a game build. He said, well, you know what, you can do it yourself. I'm like, I can't build my own. Yes, you can. Go here. So that was always Jim. And so when he was doing this, I was like, well, you know what, Jim was a good idea. I'm kind of administrative person as well. So I said, well, let me help him out. So I did this, did that. And that was my initial intention. But it's just so good to meet so many, you know, dynamic people. And that was one of the purposes of the Urban Tech Fair, is because one of the things I'm learning is how many dynamic people there are, not just all around the world, but who's actually near you. And we don't know, because it's not shown in the mainstream media, because there are just very few places, and everyone is not necessarily, like, in the tech realm. It's just like when I work with artists. I love the arts, period. Everything about the arts and every aspect of the arts I love. And I started working with visual artists, then I worked with theater artists. Then I got into spoken word artists from the theater artists, because a lot of them was, you know, they were very given of their talent. I realized they had lacked some sources, but, you know, the one thing about it is if you're not into the poetry movement, like, say, if you're not into poetry and you don't go to poetry readings and things, it's not that you won't like poetry, you're just not in that clique, so you're not exposed to it because you're not in that clique. But that doesn't mean it can't be exposed and you don't need to be exposed, because once exposed, it's just like any kind of artist, whatever their artistry is, if I bring you an artist, I guarantee to sell you. The issue is getting you to experience the art. And most of the time, that means I had to take that art outside of its typical setting, like outside of the poetry readings, and put it someplace where people may not necessarily be used to it, to give it a platform. And that's the same thing most of us are working to do with tech, because we've gotten in this bubble. Now, the one good thing about young people, they're born with tech, so they are... It's not, their issue is not about adapting tech. Their issue, you know, with mainstream media, and what we got to focus on is how they use the technology. And again, their vision, that their vision isn't limited to think, I can only gossip on Facebook or social media, or I can only do this, or this is just what's available for the use of it, but that they have a vision and see that anything is possible. So that's just a good thing about us coming together and sharing information and sharing it just to show all what's possible, whether you're in the tech field or not directly in the tech field. And even a lot of industries, in order to get something built or any business done, you have to be proficient in more than one area. So even if it's a tech startup, they're going to need every person is not required to be a techie. Everyone is needed to be able to run it. But you also do always need to understand the core of what a business does. And since technology impacts us all the time, we all need to understand. And then we all need to also include this to our people who are even outside of tech, because they're all part of the line some way or another. So I just wanted to share that. And the one thing you did talk about that you talked about before, and before we go to this last segment, is the children, because you do a lot with youth, but you didn't haven't share that here yet. But before you do, let's just go back and just shout out the websites, how people can get in touch with you, or not even that, because we got the links. Well, the focus is right now, we are into September. We need to know what is the date of the Urban Tech Fair weekend. Are there still registration, tickets available? How can people engage? What's going on? Just give us the whole Urban Tech Fair weekend spiel.
Absolutely. Urban Tech Weekend is September 25th through 28th, 2014, in a couple weeks. Registration is free and open to the public. There are some premium options of registration, such as VIP registration. And you can register online via our website. Leading up to the event, we have a series of Twitter chats every Tuesday at noon Central. So on our Twitter site, on our Twitter chats, we're actually bringing in featured speakers, some of our past keynote speakers and some of our speakers from our upcoming event. They are on the Twitter chat. The Twitter chats have had an amazing reach and amazing impact. And that, you know, besides that, the website, Google Plus, I mean, you can find us anywhere. Our social media team has done a great job of you know, just putting us out there. The information is out there. Ani Akpe, Innovation Magazine out of New York.
Andrew.
She's our media partner. She's done an amazing job in supporting us as well.
Andrew, real quick, before we move too far on, the Twitter chats. Now, which day of the week are they?
They are every Tuesday at 12 noon Central.
Okay. And how does one, in case someone doesn't know, how does one engage a Twitter chat?
They simply need to log on to Twitter and enter hashtag Urban Tech Weekend. That is the pound sign with Urban Tech Weekend, all one word. And it shows you every tweet, every retweet, everything that's out there concerning our upcoming event. During the Twitter chat, you have a number of folks who are on panels, and you have a moderator, an actual Twitter moderator who's asking questions, and you can join in those questions. You can join the conversation and ask your own questions to the panelists or about the event through the Twitter chat.
Great. That's great. So it's happening in 2 weeks. It's September 25th. And general registration is open and free to the public, and there are premium options such as VIP in order to register, and you can just go to www.urbantechweekend.com. You can go there to register. And so what goes on beyond that, you know?
Oh, man.
Are there still hotels available?
Yes, our room block is our room block is available for another 15 days. Our event is being held at the Wyndham. It's in the heart of the Energy Corridor. If you know the footprint of Houston, it is largely run by, or made up of oil and gas companies, manufacturing. We have some universities here, but all of those industries are required to, you know, run by tech. So there's a huge tech market here in Houston, mm-hmm. and we chose the Energy Corridor because of it being in the heart of oil and gas industries, the major players. There are over 3,000 energy companies based right here in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so a person attending, what should they expect to happen at the Urban Tech Weekend?
So the makeup of our event, we've kept our signature, which is panel discussions, a series of panel discussions that are highly interactive. In our panel discussions, we bring in folks from around the country, in the tech space and the recruiting space, from a plethora of backgrounds. And they just tell their stories. And out of them telling their stories, we create strategies and takeaways during the event. We also have a tech expo where tech companies will exhibit, and diversity recruitment expo where, you know, you can come to Urban Tech Weekend and be recruited for your next position. There's also a hackathon piece of the event where we have a global innovation hackathon, and we are the two categories are hacking for social justice and hacking for the economy, with an emphasis on education and STEM apps. So things that can really enhance, you know, kind of global problems, you know, or building apps that can create a better economy for the African American community. Two of our keynote speakers are Natalie Cofield. She is the president of the Austin Black Chamber of Commerce. She's also the founder of the Austin Black Technology Council. We also have Dr. John Calhoun. He's the CEO and founder of IMS Engineers, a multimillionaire engineering firm, the largest engineering firm in the South. So we have lots of notables. We have over 50 speakers this year. Like I said, panel discussions, power packed, interactive. It's not like it's not like a classroom. You're sitting there and being lectured to. Our panel discussions, that's our juice. They get interactive.
Mm-hmm.
So the panelists engage with the audience, and we get real life connections and real life stories at the event.
All right. So, now, who would you say are the best people to attend?
Anyone from early career technology professionals, early career STEM professionals, college students, mid-level career professionals, anyone who wants to join the conversation concerning where tech is going, concerning where blacks in technology and blacks in STEM are going, and kind of some of the conversations. There's been lots of conversations out of the efforts of
Andrew. We lost you for okay. We lost you for a moment. Andrew.
Okay.
Okay.
How about
alrighty.
Now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You were saying about the people who engaged, and then you were saying there were a lot of people out of, and we kind of lost you.
Okay, certainly. so, you know, there's been lots of talk about the diversity numbers, that Yahoo and Google mm-hmm. and Apple. And what people don't respect and realize is that it was Reverend Jesse Jackson engagement and entering into Silicon Valley and demanding that data is a result of why it was brought to the forefront. I believe that it is a technology renaissance happening, and it is also a movement. I compare the state of technology in America right now and globally to the Renaissance period, the literary renaissance of the 13th and 14th century, where people just, they were writing poetry, they were creating thought, they were philosophers that emerged, And then you had the civil rights movement of the early or the mid-1900s. So I believe what's happening now is kind of a result in a movement of blacks in technology gaining their civil rights and creating equity in the tech space. And there's also a renaissance of folks are not only authoring books, but they're authoring applications. They're authoring things, problems, solutions to the problems that exist in everyday life and in the world and in the economy. So there is a renaissance of sorts going on, and our event is a culmination of thought leaders who are engaged in that process. Folks, we have a very collaborative group of partners that are on our executive team. We have Geeks Going Global, Farouk Hunter out of Atlanta. You know, they're engaged, they're a strategic partner. We have Women of STEM who'll be at our event. We have just a number of groups. Mentor Me, Britt Fitzpatrick out of Memphis, Tennessee, she'll be there with us. We have Anwan Simmons, author of Minority Tech. We have Kai Dupuy, Kai Dupuy show and Bitwise. We just have like an amazing group of thinkers and creators that come together, and we say, we see you, we hear you, we appreciate you, we support you. Let's build and create together.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. The one thing I just wanted to just ask you to differentiate, for our audience and those who may be listening that just may not know, how do you define innovation? And that term is being used so much, but how do you define innovation?
So I define innovation as thought beyond the wheel. So if you think of a wheel is motion. A wheel is a continuum. A wheel spins. It is motion. But thinking in terms of innovation, what can you do beyond the spinning? Where does the wheel go? Where do we take the wheel? How do we go from a launch pad of an idea? How do we extend it into something, where we're doing what we've been created to do, to be innovators, to use our innate ability of ingenuity and creating things that don't exist and manifesting things that will impact and create a better world. That's what innovation is from my perspective. Now, there's a textbook definition of it that we know as well, and that is largely thought of improving on an existing idea.
Mm-hmm.
But innovation, the term and the meaning is evolving.
Mm-hmm. All right. I just wanted to bring that because that term is being used so much these days. And we have about 6 minutes to go, so I just want to take 1 minute to give a shout-out to all our guests. Everyone who is in the chat room, I know some people just started leaving, but we still have a few people in the chat room. We have a few callers on the line. Again, if you want to say something, if you want to ask any questions, just press 1. And let us know if you want to speak. Please press the number 1, and that way we'll know you want to speak. And for all of those in the chat room, if you have a question or something, just post it. And, we do have someone from the 617 who has a question for you. Hello?
Hey, Jacqueline. It's Shimon.
Hey, Shimon. How are you?
I'm all righty. 617 is Boston. That's me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the show, and pleasure to hear you, Andrew. I went to Xavier for my freshman year, and then I finished up at Tulane, so know the place well. Glad you're doing all that good work down there in New Orleans and in Houston. You know, the community really needs it. I know you mentioned earlier about early people in their career, mid-level. Oh, what do you think about people who are actively like social entrepreneurs and people in other movements like yourself? Would you advise them coming down there to network or collab with other collaborations?
Absolutely. We're open collaborators. We believe that this renaissance that is happening, we have to build and we have to collaborate together for it to happen. This, the civil rights movement didn't happen in a vacuum. You know, the literary renaissance of the 14th century, they didn't happen alone. People connected. You know, they connected when there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there were no telephones, there were no internet, and they made it happen. So we have no excuse now other than to move beyond egos and just really connect with people and help co-advance other folks' visions and empower them. But more than anything, what you leave away from Embitlo Urban Tech Weekend with is being empowered. It is truly an empowerment movement, and it's an empowerment event. We welcome entrepreneurs. We welcome folks who are doing other things, you know, trying to bridge the digital divide. We'll bridge it with you. We enable, you know, tech startup entrepreneurs. We'll equip you with resources within our networks. We're a down south event, but we have a global reach. We've got folks on multiple continents and all over North America engaged in what we're doing. Thanks to the digital age, thanks to Twitter, thanks to the internet, thanks to Facebook and Google Plus, we're able to be found and connect with folks like us.
I mean, sounds really good. So I'm going to coordinate with Jackie and obviously the wife and see if plan to get down there for that 2 weekends from now.
Yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
Man. You're welcome.
3 weekends from now, yeah.
Uh-huh. You're scaring me.
So wait, man, I thought I had another week. Okay. Oh, Shimon,
thank you for calling in and answer your question, sir.
Yeah, Shimon, just real quick, share a little bit about yourself. You know, like, introduce yourself to Andrew.
Hey, well, Shimon Worden, supporter, member, advocate with the Urban Tech Fair. I own my own consulting company called Safe Consultancy, LLC, do executive consulting, marketing, sustainability, change management, technology. I love what you said earlier, I see that with my clients and prospective clients, where technology is an afterthought, and then their culture, their talent, their operations doesn't match with their technology. It's ad hoc, and they end up spending more money and spending more time and having not the results if they had planned it early on because they don't have those power brokers. I thought with that statement you made was very powerful and very relevant to experiences of small entrepreneurs and larger companies as well. It sounds very fantastic. A lot of alignment there.
Man, we look forward to meeting you. Be sure you find me when you come down and introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, if there is anyone else, just press 1 so that you can speak. Well, we have 55 seconds left to streaming live. So you have 30 seconds, Andrew, and the whole world listening. What would you like to leave with us?
I would like to leave with us to really hone in on your vision, those things that you dream about. You know, just be creators. Don't take lightly the things that come to you in dreams. You know, we don't tap into our gut. We don't tap into our intuition enough. If there's been an unction that's telling you you can live a better professional life, you can improve the Silicon Valley in your own backyard, build one that, you know, where it doesn't exist, move forward and do that. Build with people who align yourself with people who are like-minded, who are visionaries and who are implementers, who can help you build. And I got about 10 seconds left, and you go and follow us at Urban Tech Weekend and at Embitlo on Twitter, and just find us and Google us, connect with us. We want to hear from you. We want to share with you, and we want to build with you. Thank you, Jackie.
All right. Andrew, you got one more caller. We're still recording. We just stopped streaming live.
Okay.
But you have a caller here, two people, one from the 303. Hello.
Hi, Jackie?
Yes.
Yes, Ted Tillman, how are you?
Fine, how are you? You have a question for Andrew?
Yes. In addition, I think it was stated that you have an event coming up in Houston, is that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to know if you had anything more to add in terms of specifics rather than technical in general.
Absolutely. So our event, like I mentioned before, is IT Professional Resources, Tech Startups and Innovation, and also STEM Resources. So there's a plethora of folks coming who are in the engineering space, who are in science, who are pharmacists, who are doctors, who are engineers that are joining us this year to expand our conversation, not only in tech. There are educators who will be in the room, folks who from a wide range of backgrounds and a wide range of you know, just intricacies who are concerned with and interested in what we're doing and really trying to expand what they do using our platform.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay. Now one more. We got another caller. Caller from the 404.
Atlanta.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Hi, Stephanie Reeves. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, Jackie. I am just calling one as a person who has attended several of the Urban Tech Weekends in the past, from Atlanta to Miami to Houston. I've seen each of these events grow. And so no, I don't really have a question, but more of a plug for those who are listening on that fence for, as far as attending. Each year as I've attended these, they have grown tremendously. From that small room of 30 people to more and more. And last year in Houston, I will tell you, surprise, just exceeded beyond my expectations. And I am so looking forward to reconnecting with some old faces and getting a chance to visit, to meet new people. And so if you're sitting on that fence about going, it's one that I would not dare miss. And I just encourage those to attend as well. So I just wanted to put that plug out there. Thank you for the call. I have enjoyed it. Awesome call, and thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you,
Stephanie.
So
all right. Now, anyone else? Okay, this seems to be all the callers. So we just like to share with everyone for the Urban Tech Fair. You can check us out at www.urbantechfair.org. And just click on join so that you can get on a list. Get on a list. Like they say, get on the bus, get on the list. This way we can, you can stay up to date with what's going on. And our main purpose of the Urban Tech Fair, we manifest as a fair in different cities. And we specifically, our goal is just to showcase what's going on in technology in your local area. And then we showcase that to the whole world and to show the power of collaboration. And so when all the lie, they say we don't like to work together, we don't support one another, this call alone is a proof of the lie. So, but we do want to put that more in front of our everyday people. So we reach out to the whole urban community, 12 to 55, techies and non-techies alike, because our focus is a family affair. So we're focusing on a family because whether it's your natural family or the kinship community, you know, we're all impacted by one another. And if we need to build community, it can't just be the young people or just the techies who already know, because we all interact with one another. So you have to understand when a tech, you know, if you're like, you're like, I'm going to earn some money. Well, you can flip a tech just like you can flip a house. But if you don't understand the value of tech and what technology can and cannot do, you don't understand how you can support and invest. And that's really important that we start investing in our own, that we actually have some money coming to the table, because our expectation that people from other communities are going to be willing to put their money with us is just, it's not realistic, you know. Now, people do, they're going to go after good business, but if when all things are equal, and I know you better, I'm going to pick the person I know. So it's just important that we develop people from our own community who can invest in when our kids are coming home with gaming projects, and you're like, you're not playing no video games. You got homework to do. And the understanding you're taking them away because of, you know, the family's lack of knowledge. You can't support our youth. And so it's just a whole family affair. So just come find out about the Urban Tech Fair and how you can just come and just help support all of us. And don't forget, September 25th, Urban Tech Weekend, www.urbantechweekend.com. Just go there. Registration is free. Come on out. And that for everyone else, have a blessed week. Peace.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.